sweet Holy Spirit. Open our hearts as we have come before your throne. In the mighty name of Jesus. Open our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, as we have come before your throne, we pray that we learn from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So the topic before us this evening says, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, the strategy for a seamless life. Walking in the Spirit, the strategy for a seamless life. So we're going to be starting by reading Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. It's a very popular verse and we all can open our Bibles and read together. This lesson today is for you who currently doesn't feel satisfied with where you are at currently in life. You're not happy with your current status. You're not happy with your financial status. You're not happy with your social status. You're not happy with your academic, economic status. Just whatever it is that your current situation of life is that you are not happy with, I am pleased to let you know that at the end of tonight's study, you'll be receiving light. So this is not just another usual moment of coming together to just read text and go home. There's going to be revelations as well. There will be deliverance of the mind in the name of Jesus. So we're reading from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So it's a class and it's going to be interactive. We're discussing together. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not do what? You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You will agree with me that walking in the Spirit is a lifestyle. It's not an event. Walking in the Spirit is a lifestyle, not an event. How do I mean walking in the Spirit is a lifestyle and it's not an event? When we say something is an event, it means it just occurs and probably fuses into the air till when it occurs again, an event. But when it becomes a lifestyle, it becomes the air you breathe. It becomes the culture that you live your lives by. So walking in the Spirit is a lifestyle. It is not an event. It means continuous responsiveness to the Spirit. So when we say walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it means that as long as you be in continuous responsiveness to the Spirit, at no moment will you fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, if we travel down the book of Galatians chapter 5, we see what the lust of the flesh are. We see covetousness, we see envy, we see strife and so many other things. Maybe in another series, we're going to talk about how those things are lust of the flesh. But let's proceed tonight with what we have before us. It means functioning from divine alignment. I have a mantra, and that my mantra is, I am present on earth, but I am existing from Zion. That's what I believe so much in that. That's the mantra I'm living my life by. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But they shall not do what? They shall not come near your dwelling. Another scripture says, when people said there is a lifting down, you will say what? Sorry, if they say there's a casting down, you say what? There is a lifting up. Are you not present in that physical location that people are shouting that there is a casting down and you are saying that there is a lifting up? How? How come thousands are falling at your side and 10,000 are falling at your right hand and no one is coming near your dwelling? It is because you are functioning from divine alignment. You are present in Lagos, but you are existing from Zion. So in as much as people are crying, I am confused. There's currently recession in Nigerian economy. There's currently a downturn in the economy of Nigeria. Oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, I don't know what to eat. Oh, I don't know what path to go. Oh, I don't know what to sell to earn the living that I want for myself. Because you are existing from Zion, though present on earth, your story is going to be what? It is going to be different. So we're saying that walking in the Spirit is a lifestyle, not an event. It means living in continuous responsiveness to the Spirit. It means functioning from divine alignment, not human impulse. What does it mean to function from divine alignment and not human impulse? It means that every of the thing that you do, every of the step that you take, every of the major decision that you want to make, they are sponsored by divine alignment, not just by human impulse. Oh, crocheting is what is making money today. I think I should go into it. And you go into it. Whatever happened, happened. That's you functioning by human impulse. Oh, it is currently oil and gas that is coughing out the blood money in the private sector. I think I need a role in oil and gas. Functioning by human impulse. But if you are functioning from divine alignment, this is basically you waiting on God to ensure that whatever step you are taking is in alignment with His plan, purposes, and will for your life. Walking in the Spirit means being led, not just being driven. Drive alone cannot lead you right. You have to be led. Oh, I just love taking care of children. You are driven by so much passion. What if that's not your path? What if that's just a drive? What if you are not led to do it? What if you're not functioning in alignment? So walking in the Spirit means being led, not just being driven. Just as Jonah was sent to, he was led to Nineveh. God sent him to Nineveh. But by whatever scared him, he was driven and went to Tarshish. He probably was driven by his fear. He probably was driven by maybe seeing that, oh, those people are very wicked. God, they deserve that punishment. Let them perish. That thing you already have in your heart that you want to use to afflict them, let it happen to them. I don't have to go to save them. So it could be that Jonah was driven by all of this. We can see that in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. So to further buttress tonight's topics, which says walking in the Spirit, the strategy for seamless life, we're going to be exploring three subtopics. These three subtopics will be opening our eyes to see a problem that we all have. Then it is going to teach us the strategy for solving that problem, and it will tell us the outcome of applying the strategy to solve that problem. So it's going to set us up for a life of unwavering rest and joy. The outlines. So the first outline we're going to be looking at is the misalignment problem. I really want you to take away every thought in your mind now and focus on this particular subtopic, the misalignment problem. Because a lot is about to be revealed to us here. Show us your face, Yahweh. Show us your face, Yahweh. We know you are here. Your presence is evidence. Father, as we step into this outline, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your presence that is here with us leads us aright. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. The misalignment problem. So many believers are sincere. A lot of us seated here this evening, we are so sincere. We are so passionate. We are so honest. But we are burdened. A lot of us, we are pursuing that masters. But behind that masters we are pursuing, there is emptiness. A lot of us are pursuing heights in our career. But behind the heights we are pursuing in our career, there is anger, there is bitterness that, this is not what I want to be using my life for. If I had my way out, I would have been doing something different. A lot of us are so sincere. We come to church, we pray, we carry Jesus, we carry the Holy Spirit everywhere, but we are still burdened. We are trying to fix outcomes instead of fixing alignment. We are trying to fix outcomes instead of fixing what? Alignment. God has told you, Elizabeth, you're going to be a very great woman. So this is you now. You've got that revelation that I am Elizabeth. I'm going to be a very great woman. And all what you spend your life doing is chasing outcome. You're trying to fix the outcome by yourself. You're trying to calculate. Okay. Gift. Was the group director for that oil and gas company. And that way she's great. So I think I should pursue a career in oil and gas as well for me to be great. We are busy doing what? We are busy trying to fix outcomes instead of fixing alignments. When God has told you something, it isn't your responsibility to try to fix the outcome. What you should fix is alignment. Seamlessly, you're going to arrive at that outcome. So many of us were trying to fix outcomes instead of fixing alignment. We are using efforts to fix what alignment should have solved. We are using so much efforts. You have sold car. You have done Bitcoin. You have done Yahoo. You have done Sportybet. You have done Baba Jebu. You have sold petrol. You have sold jewelries. You've done a lot of things. And you never for once thought, why am I so busy wandering around in life yet? I cannot see a result yet. You are busy wanting to fix the outcome that is beyond you. Instead of you to just do what? Instead of you to align. Thank you, sir. You know, when I was doing my service here, as a very young boy, I have been so much informed. I know so many ways to get to the top. I've seen my glory as far as I was a young boy, even it was prophesied before I was born. There's a particular story that my mom will always tell me. When I wanted to give birth to you, there was a woman, she was in White Garment Church then. There was a woman who was a Muslim. She just gave her life to Christ and she came out to prophesy. That child you're carrying is a male. We see him carrying a big cross and there is a big crowd following him while he's carrying that cross. All of these prophecies has been there before I was born. But when I was born too, nobody told me this until I grew. But by divine knowledge, I just knew that I'm not set for the crumbs. I'm not set to be born and also die in Ojo, Lagos. I know that I will do so many great and mighty things. So when I was in my service year, NYC camp, I already thought about it that, okay, for me to have a very great start in my career, I have to work in a company. For everybody who is serving or who is an undergraduate, majority, everybody wants to work in a company. Nobody wants to teach. You barely find somebody that wants to teach. Everybody wants to work in a company. In quotes. So I already started finding my way to working in a company, and you know, while I was there struggling to figure out how I was going to land in a multinational company, because I've seen my trajectory. I've seen yes to come of my life, very great. So I'm like, if I should leave my fate, if I should leave my destiny to the hands of NYSC, they might post me to a government school. And that is far too little. So what God is showing me, that I'll be a very great man. A whole me, that I see my destiny, I'll go to Ajangbadi Senior High School and be teaching primary school students A for apple, B for ball. And I will also be dancing with them. I am a superbe. Instead of me to not tie, wear suits, seated in AC, receive email, acknowledged, noted for action, sent, done, everything. So I was really expecting to work in a company, but one of the guests that they brought to our NYC camp, a woman, very great. When she was coming, everybody was on their feet. Everybody was preparing to parade and salute that woman. She came in a very big and exotic car. The state coordinator, zonal coordinator, everybody, they were ensuring that things were in order before that woman steps into the camp. And even as she was coming, she had escorts. We were Nigerian Army. This woman, obviously, is very great. Then she began to share her story. After NYC, they posted her to a school, and she taught. And the Holy Spirit told me, John, you are having headache for nothing. She taught in a school. Look at her today. See her glory. You don't need to calculate how you want to be what I've said you will be, John. John, even if they post you to a pearl factory, you are still John, and I am still God. As long as you remain in alignment with me, you get to where I want you to get to. So, money team pay me, although I have strong head, I still have head in the multinational company. But what am I trying to say in essence? God told me, he used that as an illustration for me, that John, you don't need to worry. All you need to do in this journey is alignment. When I wake up and tell you, John, this is the move we're making today, don't hesitate, take the move. John, this is where we're going to next, take the move. John, we are done with this phase of your career, we are done with this industry, this is the industry we're going to do next, make the move. Not you trying to calculate that, how am I going to get there? Okay, after I'm done working in a manufacturing company, I'm going to move to oil and gas next. After oil and gas, I pursue tech, because that is where the revolution of the world is going. Meanwhile, God is saying, John, even if you are a village headmaster, okiki ashishikini ashikon kakiri gbogbo agbaye, your glory is still going to be so bright around the whole world. So now, when I was explaining misalignment problem, I mentioned quite a number of things, and we're going to be breaking them one after the other using certain biblical examples to buttress them. So the first point I mentioned when I was explaining the misalignment problem is that many believers are sincere, but they are burdened. Many believers are sincere, but they are burdened. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. If we can read the message version, we're gonna read it. Luke chapter 10, from verse 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Okay, so let's read together. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister Mary who sat before Jesus, the master. Let's take note of this place. Who sat before Jesus, what? The master. Then, hanging on every word he said, but Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them, saying, Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? tell her to lend me a hand. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you are fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up for nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. What was that main thing that Mary chose? She sat at the foot of the master. She stayed in the place of alignment. Martha represents what a lot of us today feel like. We are busy, we are productive, we are doing all the right things, yet we are mentally drained. She was busy. She thought, Jesus is in my house now. I think I should be busy. I should be trying to, you know, I should be trying to do a lot of things. Martha was hosting Jesus, but she wasn't experiencing Jesus. Martha was hosting Jesus, but she was not what? Experiencing Jesus. Mary understood the assignment. I'm not expected to be wandering around in life trying to find my way. I am in this world. There is a kingdom of God on earth, and it is not a location. It is a position that I take in my mind. So I'm supposed to be what, despite the noise and all of the worries in the country, I'm supposed to stay in the place of alignment with God. Martha was doing all the right things, but she was mentally drained and quietly overwhelmed. If we look at that particular verse, and she came and she had a sister, okay, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? A lot of you are so busy and you are worried. Nobody is helping me. Nobody is coming to my aid. Look at me trying to figure this out alone. Da, 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 da. I'm trying to sort it out all on my own. Nobody is coming to my aid. And so she's just there being like, who sent you? Who sent you to be trying to figure out life on your own? Who sent you? Mary is doing the right thing. She's not just present with me. She's also what? Experiencing me. A lot of us were hosting Jesus. A lot of us, we know Jesus. A lot of us can tell a lot about Jesus, but we are not experiencing Jesus. Experiencing Jesus simply means we're going to see outcomes of Jesus' power, potential, anointing in your life. So Mary, on the other hand, chose to slow down, focus, and stayed aligned with what truly mattered. That's the lesson, is simple but deep. You can be doing everything right on the outside and still feel what? Still feel burdened on the inside if you are not aligned. You can be doing everything right. If you are not aligned, you still be feeling burdened. You know, this generation, we glorify hustle a lot. Constant activity and pressure. We've heard so much that if you are not feeling that pressure, if you are not hustling hard, you are not cut out for greatness. So we want to do 205 things together, thinking that's the way. Will you stay like Mary stayed with Jesus? And just understand, the distance between your destiny and the fulfillment is covered by alignment, not by race. The distance between everything that God has promised you that you're going to achieve in this life, that distance is not covered by race. It's not covered by running. It's not covered by activities. It is covered by alignment. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall do what? They shall renew their strength. Gaze Baba sang a song. He said, what's that song again? Okay. Plenty chariots, they run for my front. But when I begin my run, it go be like say I day on steroids. Elijah level, I want a Ferrari law. is my normal level. I want Sarajevo Ferrari law. Do you get? He understands what Gates Baba was trying to pass across to us there is that plenty chariots might be running in your front. Matter in your home might be busy and she's feeling great that she's active and productive. Meanwhile, Mary, in the place of alignment, when she starts running her race, it's going to be like she's on steroids, because the speed she's going to be running with could even be greater than that of the chariot of fire that Elijah ran with. So we should stop taking glory in pressure, activity, busyness, but we should choose Jesus. Peace. Jesus is going to give you peace. He's going to give you clarity and ease from alignment. The Bible said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's not just a theoretical statement. He is literally the way to everything you want to achieve in this life. You might want to ask me, John, how is Jesus the way to everything I want to achieve? Jesus is simply the way to everything you want to achieve. Why? Because he reconciled us with the Father. He restored the access to the brain behind our destiny. So first, we need to accept him. We need to accept his lifestyle. And through him, we have access to the Spirit that is going to reveal to us everything that we need to prosper in our life. So when you prioritize the one thing that is staying connected and be led, life becomes less scattered. A lot of us seated here today, we know deep down ourselves that we're just doing things. We're just doing things. Our life is so scattered. It's been over a decade of your existence or over a decade of your career, but you still feel so scattered. I can't even figure out what I have put together. Life feels scattered, but when you choose alignment, life is going to feel less scattered. It will feel less stressful, and it will now be what? More meaningful. Some of you might wake up early to alignment at 30 years. Some of you might wake up early to alignment at 50 years. Some of you might wake up to alignment maybe 10 years to your exit from this world. But I'm telling you that if you're hearing this gist of alignment this evening, you should decide to step into alignment from now. Another thing I said when I was explaining the problem of alignment is that many believers are using efforts to fix what alignment should have solved. We'll be reading Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3.
Work with God the Father, work with God the Son, work with hosts of angels, all of them join. I get back in awe. I know they work alone. I work with God the Father, work with God the Son, work with God the Spirit, three of them join. I get back in awe. I know they work alone.
All right, so we're reading Galatians chapter 3 from 1 to 3. Paul was irritated. The same way Paul is irritated is the same way Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit is looking at a lot of you today. And he's furious on his inside. The same way Paul is shouting, "Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth? Crucified among you Verse 2. The only way would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let me read Message version of that verse 2. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Message version of verse 3 says, are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people will think they could complete their own efforts. What was begun by God? What sent you to this life? Please, I need a response. Who sent you to this life? Who formed you? Who wrote the script of your life? So why on earth? Like, you have confidence, so you think this destiny that God wrote, you cannot fulfill it by human knowledge. It's not me, oh, it's Paul. Paul is saying that, are you going to continue with this craziness? Thinking that thinking that you can complete with your own efforts what has started by God? If you aren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Do you know how breath entered your nostrils? Do you know how you are conceiving those thoughts? Do you know how you are seeing those visions that you're seeing? You don't know how. So why do you think you're going to know how to fulfill it? You just keep toiling around, calculating steps. Paul confronts the believers who started their journey with God by the Spirit, but later switched to trying to perfect things through their own efforts. It's very, very relatable to what we're going through today. We experience grace, clarity, or direction at the beginning. Oh, God has given you that project. I'm going to launch this app. I'm going to start this ministry. I'm going to start this business. I'm going to travel to another country to probably do something there. And you are there thinking what you have conceived by God, your own human calculations can help you sustain it. People experience grace, clarity, or direction at the beginning, but somewhere along the line, they start relying on pressure, hustle, and self-effort to sustain what God already initiated. The result of this is frustration and what? Exhaustion. Not because God failed, but because alignment was replaced with what? Efforts. What we are learning here is that what begins by the Spirit can never ever be sustained by the flesh. This generation, our default mode is doing more to fix things. But real progress comes from staying aligned with the Spirit, not increasing effort. We have been trying the same thing for the past 5 years. You've not gotten it. And all you could think is that you should intensify the effort. You are forgotten that there is a place that you should be living from, that you should go and fix. You're trying to fix the outcome instead of fixing alignment. All of the results you want to see in your life, all of the changes, all of the transformation that you want to see, they are not effort problem. You might have done too much already. And the naive you is thinking the way out is to do more. Meanwhile, the way out is to go and do what? Go and stay aligned. So stop using efforts to fix what alignment should have solved. Stop it. Stop it. There are also people who are trying to fix outcomes instead of fixing alignment. We're going to be explaining this with the story of Abraham. The main characters in this illustration is going to be Abraham, Sarah, Ishmael, and Isaac. So now we're going to be reading Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. It's going to be like a random read so that we can just ensure that we touch the major points in the story. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Okay, God appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this land to your what? To your children. Abraham built an altar at the place God had prepared for him. So let's take note of this verse. God's prophecy came to Abraham that he's going to give this land to his children. So now we're going to chapter 17, verse 19. Chapter 17, verse 19. Chapter 17, verse 19. But God said, that's not what I mean. Your wife Sarah, we have a baby, a son, named he, and you're going to name him Isaac, which means laughter. Look at the meaning of Isaac's name. The meaning of Isaac's name is laughter. I will establish my covenant with him and his descendants, a covenant that lasts forever. So, God clearly defines the outcome, Isaac. God told Abraham that prophecy I gave to you, that I am going to give this land, this possession, is going to be one of your sons. God defined the outcome to be who? To be Isaac. So if you look at that Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, where God, can we go back to Genesis 12, 7? Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Three things were very important for us to note there. The first one is the process owner. Genesis 12, 7. God appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this land to your children. That is God, is the process owner that is to fulfill that prophecy. And the timing of when this prophecy is going to be fulfilled, we don't know. That means the time is not immediate. And what we really need to learn from this Abraham story is that God is responsible for outcomes, not you. When God gives you a promise, your role is alignment, not production. When God gives you a promise, your own role to play in the alignment is, my father, I've come today. As I'm stepping out today, I am confused. You said I'm going to be this in life, but I don't know how to go about it. Please show me the way. It's either you hear his voices or he leads your steps. There are so many ways that God uses to direct us. You can hear his voices and he can be leading you whereby everything is just falling in alignment. Genesis chapter 16, verse 2. Genesis 16, 2. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I did go into my maid, unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. God has promised you Isaac, but because it is taking time, and somebody came to suggest a way to get Ishmael to you, and you did what? You fell into it. It was very easy for Joseph not to respond to Potiphar. When Potiphar said he should come and lay with her, and Joseph would have seen that as a quick access to the throne. But because Potiphar, in quotes, was painted as an evil woman, it was very easy for Joseph to identify that, this is very wrong. But what if the person that wants to lead you into misalignment is somebody that trusts God as you trust God, Sarah? What if it is not Potiphar that is in the story of your Joseph? What if it is Sarah that is your wife? What if it is Sarah that's your believer friend that you trust so much? So many times when we say that, don't consider other options, don't go the other way around, it's not all of the time that it is going to be Babalawo that you will go to. God could be saying, stay with me, I'm going to show you everything. And it could be one innocent friend who prays in tongues as you pray in tongue, that we just want to lead you to one pastor. And that might be the end of what is called alignment in your life. So it's not all of the time that misalignment is going to come as Potiphar to Joseph. It could be Sarah to Abraham. It could be Sarah to Abraham. It's going to be very difficult for you to identify that. Ah, Sarah, we just got together now. Up to this old age, we could trust God. So I don't think Sarah would want to lead me astray. Let me just hearken to her voice. You know, they try to help God fix the outcome. Ishmael, and they saw the consequences. Let's go to verse 4. And they went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Verse 5 said, and Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she has conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. What the Bible was trying to explain to us here was that there was strife, there was envy, there was contempt from Hagar to who? To Sarah. And if you remember, in children's class, they taught us that for the fruits of the flesh are what? Envy, strife. We probably do not have a way to connect it. How are they fruits of the flesh? It simply means that when you are not living a spirit-sponsored life, all of your efforts will lead to strife. It will lead to covetousness. You covet what your neighbor wants because you are not living in alignment to discover what is yours. You're gonna live in strife. You are just angry at people unnecessarily because they are fulfilling their destiny. Meanwhile, you should be in alignment and your own fruit should be joy and peace because God is telling you that weeping may endure for the night, but what joy cometh in the morning. So, Abraham and Sarah, they tried to help God to fix the outcome, Ishmael, and they saw the consequences. This shows us that they designed an alternative solution. They used human logic to achieve a divine promise. You know, the consequence we saw there was immediate strife, tension, emotional pressure. Ishmael is not Isaac. Just be patient and consistent in trusting God. Do not be what? Be misled by impatience and pressure. Ishmael is not Isaac. Don't be misled by impatience and pressure. What makes alignment worthwhile is consistency. You cannot, remember we said that walking in the spirit is a lifestyle, not an event. So you cannot align today and expect that you go on break for the next 5 weeks and you're coming back into alignment today. God is so intentional that he doesn't skip processes. He's going to take you back to where you stopped. In the last 5 months, that's where he's going to start with you from again. So I already said this, that it might not be Potiphar who will offer Joseph a shortcut to lay with her to access the throne. You know, Joseph had seen his dream, coat of many colors, and he already knew that I'm a great man. I saw people bowing before me. I became a prime minister, and I think having an affair with the wife of this great king is the access to my throne. But Joseph did what he could discern. How am I going to do this wrong and sin against my God? When you're in alignment with God, so much love with God is going to be in your heart. Alignment is sponsored by love. It was not for any other reason, no, but how am I going to commit to sin and sin against my God? How am I going to do this wrong and hurt my mother who labored? Because you love your mother so much. So I said it earlier that it might be Sarah that we offer Abraham Hagar to get Ishmael. Meaning each time we talk about alternatives, we don't mean the wrong people all the time. It might come from the right people as well. It could even be from the people that you trust and know so well, the people that are even calling the name of God. If we look at Genesis 17, 18 and 19, we're going to see where God, Abraham asked God to accept the first outcome. That is, he was asking God to endorse what he did not initiate. Genesis 17, 18 and 19, Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Meaning that when God was even laying Ishmael, when Abraham was laying Ishmael to Isaac, when you have gone confused and you have gone to find your way, you're not asking God, God, have fun and peace, can you just make this thing work out? And God still standing there, say, when you are ready, you're going to come and meet me here. You are going to come and meet me here. It's not Ishmael. You went all your way out to get Ishmael. I am still standing here waiting for the right time that I'm going to bring Isaac. So whatever it is you've used your efforts to get, use your blood sweat to sustain it. But when you realize and come and meet me where I am standing, where I promised you Isaac, I'm going to carry you. Unbe mi fo, unbe mi sare. Owo Oluwa nbe lori aye mi o. Unbe mi fo, unbe mi sare. You see, this song we're singing is just like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Also Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It is you who dwell in the secret place of the Most High that is going to bear up with wings, and you shall not dash your foot against the stone. So whenever you are singing, oh, Oluwan Beluri Ayemi, Ongbe mi fo, Ongbe mi sare, if you are not walking in alignment, you are just reading lyrics. You are not making a confession that is going to work for you. God did not accept. God still stood. No, you cannot pressure God into helping you when you did not stay to align. You can't pressure him. You will cry. He will be there and just waiting for him to see that I did not send him. All these struggles is because of how he went his way. Abraham asked God to accept the first outcome, but God did not accept it. God rejected the substitute and reaffirms his what? His alignment. God reaffirmed his alignment. Genesis 17:19. You see, I think God did not even reference Ishmael at that point. It was more like, I asked you to go and bring blue cup. You now brought yellow cup. I never say, why did you bring yellow cup to me? It was like I did not see it. Where's the blue cup? It's blue cup I asked you to bring. But whenever you bring it, I will fill it with water to quench your thirst. So many reasons you're feeling desolate, you're feeling forgotten, you're feeling like God's eyes is far away from you. It's because you're falling out of alignment. You're like, God, you are not seeing me. But God is not seeing Ishmael. His eyes is on the Isaac that he has promised. When are you going to return into alignment and start experiencing a life of ease? It is possible to become emotionally attached to wrong outcomes. Abraham preferred Ishmael because he has invested so much in him, but God will not endorse what he did not initiate. Effort cannot produce results, but only alignment produces. Sorry, efforts can produce results, but only alignment can produce covenant outcomes. Efforts produce Ishmael. Efforts produce Ishmael. But who is that covenant outcome? It is Isaac. Sir, obvious facts are not reality. Obvious facts, they are not reality. He has gotten a car. He has gotten houses. He is married. He is handsome. His tall. He's dark. All of these are obvious facts that this man is a successful man, but they are not what reality. Genesis 16:10-11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed. Okay, let's not read because of time. Genesis 16:10-11, then chapter 17 to chapter 21. A lot of people are gallivanting in Ishmael, whereas Isaac is the expected. In results, you must put in your sweat, but in alignment, you enjoy ease from covenant, not by effort. Let's look at Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. At what? The set time at which God has spoken to him. I think the first place that Abraham's age was mentioned in the Bible was 75 years. He was over 70 years. But later they told us that he was already about 100 years. Am I right? And see when now that he's just fulfilling God's promise. What is that gap? From chapter 17 to chapter 21, it is misalignment. It is misalignment. God was not waiting to get the thing done. God was not trying to figure out how he will fulfill that promise. God was waiting for Abraham to fall into alignment. You see, in Genesis 17:1, God had to tell him categorically, "Walk before me, Abraham, and I'm going to do what? I'm going to make your ways perfect." So the gap between Genesis 17 to 21 was not for God to figure things out. It was for them to trust him. The distance between your destiny and its fulfillment is not covered by race, but by alignment. Isaac came without struggle because God did what? God handled it. There was no drama to how Isaac came according to the record of the Bible. He came at the right time because God did what? God handled it. Abraham didn't have a promise problem. He had an alignment problem. Ishmael was the product of pressure, but Isaac was the product of alignment. And God will always stand by what he initiates. The Yorubas call him Oromonishe Fayati. The meaning of Oromonishe Fayati is that I sent you. I'm going to back you from every step you take through to the destination. God will always stand by what he initiates, not what you manufacture. Many of us are aware of what God has said of us. In line with this, life keeps bringing us alternative ways. In that light, only if we could resist the temptation and stay in alignment. God has said so many beautiful things to us. Joseph saw his dream. And Potiphar tried to present a way to him. But thank God he could identify and resist it. But Abraham did not identify. He fell into the temptation. If we look at the story of Jesus too, in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, from the last verse, from verse 17. You see, the Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven came, saying, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Then look at in chapter 4, when Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God," what did God say in the latter verse of chapter 3? "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." So you've heard a lot of beautiful prophecies about your life, and devil is coming, life is coming with you with so many strange suggestions on how to achieve it. You will go through many gaps, but just stay firm. It is to weigh your strength of alignment. How will God know that you are aligned if you just conceive your vision today and you achieve it today? How will he know that you trust him? How will he know that, regardless of what stretches you, you're going to stay in alignment with him? You know, another story that we can use to buttress this is the alignment of... that we can use this to buttress the story of alignment is Peter walking on water. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 to 31, we see that Peter saw Jesus walking on water. And he said, "I want to walk on water too." As long as he fixed his gaze on Jesus, he could walk on water. But the moment he started worrying, he began sinking. So a lot of us today, we have trusted God at some point in our life, standing in alignment, but we have let the situations of life make us sway to and fro, and now we are sinking. This is a very long series teaching, a very, very long series teaching. Maybe later on, we're going to be looking at the first outline we looked at today is the misalignment problem. We still have the alignment strategy, and trust me, this one is very powerful. We're going to take it another time. After this very powerful the alignment strategy, we have another outline which says the outcome. That's easy access. I pray in the name of Jesus that he's going to help us for all of these words that has been sown into our hearts this night. It will help us to keep them radiating in our minds so that they keep burning like fire. And when we come next, we'll be able to pick it up from there. Can we just sing together? Ongbe mi fo, ongbe mi sare.